What's going on inside of America? What is happening on a national and worldwide scale is simply the magnification of what is happening on an individual level. As personal problems, animosities, and fears increase, so do their counterparts in society at large. What you have in pockets of America is it begins with individuals and goes to others and goes to others, and then it begins to spread among people. Human beings are in the hold of a terrifying power that grips them at the very core of their being. Left unchecked, it pushes them to self-destruction in one form or another. That power is sin, which is always bad news. We can blame a lot of things and have a lot of suggestions about it, but at the root of it is sin. Sin begins with selfishness at its heart. That's where it starts. The basic element of fallen human nature is the exaltation of self, the ego. When Satan fell, he was asserting his own will above God's. Five times he declared, "I will," and he meant rise above God. Scripture says, Isaiah, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? Thou art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations. For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High." How did Satan fall? Three I wills. I will rise above God, and I will take over and be in charge. Man fell by the same self-will when Adam and Eve asserted their own understanding about right and wrong above God's clear instruction. Remember, God said, "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die." It's comical to me. Just imagine millions of trees, there's only one you can't eat from. Which one did you choose to eat from? The one I can't. And if you know anything about human nature, if you know anything about kids, when they first start out, you know, you can have them 100 things to do, or they're playing with one toy and somebody takes that toy. That's the one toy they want, you know. That's just human nature. But notice what Satan tempted them. "For God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." And the point is, you'll get to make your own decision because you can be your own God and determine what is right and wrong. "And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat." By nature, man is self-centered and inclined to have his own way. He will push his selfishness as far as circumstance and the tolerance of society will allow. When self-will is unbridled, man consumes everything and everyone around him in an insatiable quest to please himself. You know what is happening in pockets of America? I didn't say all across America, but you know what's happening? That very phrase, man is self-centered and he will push as far as circumstances will allow them and the tolerance of society will allow them. When friends, fellow workers, or spouse seeks to provide what they wanted, they're discarded like an old pair of shoes. Much of modern Western society has been imbued with the propriety of self-esteem and self-will that virtually every desire has come to be considered a right. You know, as a nation, we were founded that we had certain inalienable rights. But we've become to a place where everybody demands their right to live any way they want to do whatever they want to, and we must adhere to that. It's now gone too far where everyone's desire is now a right in America. The ultimate goal in many lives today is little more than perpetual self-satisfaction. Every object, every idea, every circumstance, and every person is viewed in light of what it can contribute to one's own purposes and welfare. Lust for wealth, possessions, fame, dominance, popularity, and physical fulfillment drives people to pervert everything they possess and everyone they know. Now, it's not everywhere. Everyone's not doing it. We have many fine Christians in America. We have many people who are not Christians who are fine people, but there are pockets in America who are lusting for this very thing: wealth, possessions, fame, dominance, popularity, and physical fulfillment. And they're driven because that's what they want. Employment has become nothing more than a necessary evil to finance one's indulgences. As is often noted, there's constant danger of loving things and using people rather than loving people and using things. You know, some are loving things and use people to get those things. They manipulate. But the truth is, we use things, but we love people. When that temptation is succumbed to, stable and faithful personal relationships become impossible. So, it's not around, it's nowhere. I got news for you folks. We're not living in 1950. 1950 has come and gone long ways. We're living in 2018, and we're living in a different world and a different society. A person engulfed in self-will and self-fulfillment becomes less and less capable of loving, because as their desire to possess grows, their desire to give withers. And when they forfeit selflessness for selfishness, they forfeit the source of true joy. Did you know that the more I want for me, I want this and I want that, robs me of true joy? The more you selflessly give to others, and the more that you selflessly serve the Lord, not for any motive, not for any praise, not for anything, do you know that is the secret of great joy? I can still remember how often when I would go to the nursing home and minister to people and people in bad shape and difficulties, and how I came out more joyful than what they were, because the ministry to people in need and the ministry to them is the secret of joy. But the more I want for me, the less joy there will be. Selfish greed progressively alienates a person from everyone else, including those who are closest and dearest. The end result is loneliness and despair. Everyone that is craved soon yields to the law of diminishing returns, and the more one has of it, the less it satisfies. Do you know that is true in the area of immorality and wickedness? The more a person indulges, the more they must have, because it never satisfies. It's like, you know when you're eating cotton candy, it's like, well, that was good, but it just seemed so empty. I like the sugar in it, but it just seemed empty. Well, what you're seeing in America is an unleash of people indulging in all sorts of immorality, and it doesn't satisfy. And so there has to be more and more of it. Sin produces guilt, another form of bad news. No matter how convincingly one tries to justify selfishness, an inevitable abuse of things and other people cannot escape generating guilt. I don't care what anybody says. I don't care how big they talk. Deep down in people's heart, even those who live wicked lives, they feel guilt. It is part of the human DNA. It's part of the way God made it. Like physical pain, guilt is a God-given warning that something is wrong and needs correcting. When the light comes on the car, service engine, something is wrong. You know what a lot of people do? They pull over, get out their hammer, and bust the light. And then keep on driving. No, that's a warning signal. Guilt is present as a warning signal. When guilt is ignored or suppressed, it continues to grow and intensify, and with it come anxiety, fear, sleeplessness, and countless other spiritual and physical afflictions. Many people try to overcome those afflictions by masking them with possessions, money, alcohol, drugs, sex, travel, and just about anything. Now, I'm just putting it out there blunt, but that's the truth. You know, when someone gets drunk, I'm sorry. I don't believe any reason you got for it. You're trying to kill something that's bothering you. You're trying to take care of something. I remember my the two boys, Micah and Zachary, stopped there one time talking to Chuck and asked if they ever drink. He said, no, I don't drink. We have too much fun. We don't have to drink. We enjoy ourselves. We don't have to do all that stuff. But a lot of people. Now, I'm not saying you, and I'm not saying everybody you know, but it's present in this nation. They try to assuage their guilt by blaming society, parents, a deprived childhood, the environment, restrictive moral codes, and even God himself. But the irresponsible notion of blaming other persons and things only aggravates the guilt and escalates the accompanying afflictions. I love it when people say, oh, you know why they steal. Why do they steal? They're poor. Is that the reason they steal? I remember Walter Williams writing way back that when people were even more poor than they are now, they didn't steal. What's the problem? The walls have come down. You're now free. There's no accountability. And so that's what we're able to do. Sin produces meaninglessness, another form of bad news, and one that is endemic to modern times. Trapped in their own selfishness, the self-indulgent person has no sense of purpose or meaning. Life becomes an endless cycle of trying to fill a void that cannot be filled. The result is futility and despair. To questions such as, why am I here? What is the meaning of life? What is truth? Now, you already know the answers to those questions. You know how many people I run into that haven't a clue? They have not a clue. They're not even on the same planet. They're from another planet. They have no idea why they're here. They don't believe in God. Anything goes. Christians are the bad folks. And there's no meaning. There's no purpose in life. If there's no God, there's no eternity. If there's no service to him, then what's the point? Just live any way you want to, and that's what many do. They find no answers in the world but the lies of Satan, who is the author of lies and prince of the present world system. In the words of a poem, Lament, he said, I can only say, life must go on. I just forgot why. I don't know why it's supposed to go on. What's the point of it? What's the purpose of it? Well, when there's no God, there's no standards, and you can indulge every one of your sinful whims, what is the point? What is the point? There's no meaning to life. Sin's chain of bad news, last, is hopelessness, which is the companion of meaninglessness. The consumptively selfish person forfeits hope both for this life and for the next. Although they may deny it, they sense even death is not the end. And for the hopeless sinner, death becomes, therefore, the ultimate bad news. You know why we are blessed? What if there's bad news? That's not the end. We're going to heaven. And guess what? Not only will you go to heaven, but we're going to live there forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. You know how many folks that I run into who, if you mention heaven, they were, what are you talking about? They haven't a clue. They don't know. They really don't know. And there's a sense of hopelessness in life, because if this is it, then there's nothing left. Millions of babies are born every day into a world filled with bad news. And because of the boundless selfishness that permeates modern society, million of other babies are not allowed to enter the world at all. That tragedy alone has made the bad news of the modern world immeasurably worse. Is it everywhere? No. But it's present in our nation in pockets of places. You know what is needed? Salvation in Christ. Not joining the Baptist church. That's not what's needed. We don't need more Baptists. Not turning over a new leaf and promising to live better. No. What people need is Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ. And what you and I need is the joy of having Christ. So we will want to tell them, I know a person. Well, I don't know everything to say. You can tell them what Christ has done for you. Oh, I know they came from a bad family. Oh, I know they're a good person. Oh, I know all these good things. But you know what, deep down? If they have not Christ, they have not nothing. That's what the world needs. And sin has trapped them and is destroying them. And Jesus Christ is the only one who can change that. He brought the good news that in Christ sin can be forgiven, selfishness can be overcome, guilt can be removed, worry and fear can be alleviated, and life can indeed have hope and eternal glory. You know, I do say a lot, I'm so thankful to be saved. So thankful. May lose everything, may not have anything, but I do have something that no one can take away. I have the Lord Jesus Christ, and He is my Savior. And I will enjoy Him, and He enjoys me. And notice what it said. The good news is that sin can be forgiven. Selfishness can be overcome. Guilt can be removed, and worry and fear can be alleviated. And life can have hope. I've told this before. My mother, you didn't know my mother. My mother was a little spitfire. She'd tell you what's what now. And she was had a neighbor live when she moved to Florida. And the neighbor came over one day and they were talking. And she said she'd been going to First Baptist Church. She said, well, I don't believe in God at all. So I'm not going. I've told you what my mother said. Let me ask you one question. I'm a Christian. I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe when my life is over, I will go to heaven and I will be with Him forever and ever. But suppose I'm wrong. Suppose I've completely fooled myself and I have nothing. None of that's true. It's all false. When I die, what have I lost? Of course, she went on to explain, it's a good life. It's a wonderful life. And he looked at her and very sheepishly said, well, nothing really. He said, but so suppose you're wrong. Suppose there is a God, and it's only through the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you leave this earth, you will go and spend an eternity with hell. That's what I believe. And suppose you're wrong, what have you lost? She said, he hung his head and said, everything. 2 weeks later, she saw him in church. She saw him in church. Why? Because he's our hope. I think sometimes we get this thing confused. We Christians get so busy and we're doing this and we're doing that. And I can remember playing the sports and we enjoyed all that. We're doing all this and we're enjoying ourselves and we're doing things. But we forget the one thing that everybody needs that we have is Jesus Christ. We have the greatest thing there is in the world. Now, that don't mean we have to go out there and confront everybody, but we have the good news. Romans says, Paul speaks of the good news in many ways, each way emphasizing a uniquely beautiful facet of one spiritual gem. He calls it the blessed good news, the good news of salvation, the good news of Jesus Christ, the good news of God's Son, the good news of the grace of God. The letter begins with good news and ends with the good news. It's what it's about, the good news of Jesus Christ. So I want to encourage you tonight. Don't get sidetracked. Don't think, oh, everybody out there is okay. Folks, just in our own church, if the truth were known about all of us, and if the truth were known, if we would open up and be willing to tell, not all of us and every one of us have struggles and difficulties. We may look good, and I don't mean we're faking it, I don't mean that, but the reality is we all have struggles. Well, what do you think the lost person has? They're driving themselves and and wanting more and more and more and more. And the world is saying, here, we'll give it to you. We'll let you have it. We'll go on about it. We'll pass laws. We'll do all these things. And yet, what they need is Jesus Christ. Their problem is not they came from a poor family. Their problem is not they're not rich enough. Their problem is they're sinners. And they need Jesus Christ more than anything in the world. They need Christ. They don't need to join our church. I don't mean they can't join our church. That's not what I mean. But they don't need to join. They need to find Christ. And they need to be saved so their life can be different. So I'm glad I'm a Christian. And I thank the Lord every day I'm going to heaven. And I thank the Lord every day that the Lord smiles down upon me because I trusted in His Son and seated at His right hand. He looks and the Father is pleased with the Son. And He looks down and says, you seen that, Tim Phillips? He's in my Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm so pleased with Him. And I will work like crazy to lift Him up and encourage Him and strengthen Him. Even in trials, I will never let Him go. And when it's time, I'll simply turn the switch and bring them home. We're blessed, folks. So let's try to make sure we let the world know we're blessed. We don't need to go out there and tell them how awful everything is and how terrible everything is and complain about everything and fuss about everything. Well, what have we got if that's all we do? Let's go out there and tell them, hey, you know, Lord's good to me. Maybe you need Christ. Let's pray. Father, we love You tonight, and we thank You, thank You, thank You, thank You for being saved. I hope we never take that for granted, and I hope we never take that lightly. We are saved. Our home will be in heaven when this life is over with, and we are extremely blessed. And Lord, may we not be fooled. There are many good people, but many don't know Christ. And Lord, there are some pretty good group of wicked people, but their problem is they need to know Christ. And so, Lord, help us wherever we go and whatever we do. We're little ambassadors for You to shine the light. We have the good news. We have the solution to the problem. And help us to be a testimony to that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.